Man, it feels good to watch TV again.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and as always you can find me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble. I'm back with another podcast today. I do highly recommend if you haven't to go and check out yesterday's podcast when Kyle McEwen joined me and we spoke for 2 hours on the preseason today going through all 30 NBA teams and talking about what we've noticed from the preseason. So you'll be able to get our thoughts there. So go and do make sure you check out that podcast, one of the more informative ones I think that we've done throughout the preseason. What I'm going to do on today's podcast is I mentioned this last week that I want to have a podcast of maybe ranting. I don't think I'm going to be ranting that much. It's just I'm going to be going through the teams and highlighting potential situations which could frustrate me and many other people, I guess, from a fantasy point of view or a real life point of view, things that could potentially go wrong or change that coaches may do that we may disagree with, that might get them in trouble, that might change a lot of values for things. So some potentially weird situations and things that might be frustrating. So that's what I'm going to be covering today. So
let's get to it.
Yes, indeed. Don't forget, Basketball Monster is still open for memberships for your season-long leagues, and the DFS portion is now open as well. We do have a FanDuel offer available also, so it's a $10 deposit on FanDuel, and you get full season access to the season-long portion of Basketball Monster, and you get 1 month free of DFS action if you do a $10 deposit on FanDuel. The details are all on basketballmonster.com. And of course, once you sign up for seasonal leagues, you get a free Fantrax premium product, the commissioner product over on Fantrax if you're starting up a league. So lots of incentives, plus all our articles, comments, projections, trade analyzers, projected standings, all that sort of stuff over there on Basketball Monster. So what I'm going to do today, again, is just go through teams and find out what situations could be annoying for me this season. It might not be annoying for you. It might not have any impact, but things that I've seen develop and things that I think could develop, which might be frustrating over the course of the season. We'll start with the Atlanta Hawks. I think the most frustrating thing that could happen here is if Budenholzer just refuses to give John Collins minutes, keeps him out of the rotation at the expense of maybe a Miles Plumlee, or keeps Ersan Ilyasova playing 29 minutes a night for the entirety of the season. We know that Collins can be a fantasy beast, but he's going to need those minutes. In equal minutes, him or Ilyasova or Muscala, it is clearly going to be Collins. He is one of the potential building blocks of this team, along with Taurean Prince and along with Dennis Schroeder. So it is going to be frustrating if he doesn't give him a significant role at least halfway through the season. I think he should be in the rotation from opening night, but if he's playing him 15, 16 minutes a night, it's going to be a pain in the ass. Whereas I think that down the stretch, he should be playing 27 a night, but that remains to be seen. So that could be a frustrating situation on a limited portion. If Marco Bellinelli is getting consistent minutes over DeAndre Bembry, that doesn't make any sense to me either. Bellinelli came across as one of the guys that moved in order for the Hawks to get rid of Dwight Howard. They weren't valuing Bellinelli. Oh, we've got to get Marco Bellinelli. It's like, we've got to get Dwight Howard. We've just got to get rid of him. We can't have him on this team. So Bellinelli comes back in that role. We want to look at guys who could potentially form part of a core. Bembry could be a nice sixth man on this team in a couple of seasons. I think you've got to see what he can do. It's not going to impact fantasy too much, but as a secondary ball handler, a guy that could initiate stuff on the second unit, he could have some value. So that would frustrate me a little bit, but not as much as denying John Collins his rightful place as a fantasy animal. In Brooklyn, we know that situation frustrated us all last season. Kenny Atkinson said, and me and Kyle talked about this yesterday, they're a team that's bad, that's got significant depth, which is a weird situation to be in. Atkinson said he's probably going to run an 11-man rotation, whereas most teams will run 10, and the Rockets will probably run 9. So that is going to be frustrating from us there. I think one of the biggest ones that could annoy us is Quincy Acey playing over Jarrett Allen. We all like fresh faces. Now, Allen is a rookie. Picked in the middle of the first round, and it would be good to see what he can do given some extra run. With Tim Mozgov's not going to be able to play 30 a night. There's no other centers on this roster really, unless you count Tyler Zeller, which you shouldn't. But getting Quincy Acey in there and playing him at center is going to stifle what Allen can do. Now, at one point, Allen was looking like maybe you want to take a flyer on him in standard leagues with your last pick, and maybe he outplays Mozgov and gets that role. But with the fact that Booker's playing center, AC's playing center, Tyler Zeller's brought in, there is going to be frustration there, and it's probably going to make it hard for Allen to realize his potential until we get to maybe March or so. The other one that would really piss me off in Brooklyn is if Sean Kilpatrick gets minutes over Caris LeVert. I don't think it'll be the case because Atkinson has been talking up LeVert. I am a massive LeVert fan. I think he's a better option than Allen Crabb, but I'm pretty much resigned to the fact that Crabb is going to play over LeVert this season. But if Sean Kilpatrick or Isaiah Whitehead gets minutes over LeVert, then I'll be pissed. Now, I was pretty pissed with some of the ways that Atkinson handled things early last season, but that didn't last long. And I thought he coached his team really, really well. Love the style that he plays. The Nets are really fun to watch. So he's not really on my shit list at this point, but if he starts minimizing LeVert or he starts mucking around with Hollis Jefferson's minutes in order to get other spuds in there, that'll piss me off. But the LeVert one is definitely one to watch. In Boston, Brad Stevens is a very good coach. We know that, but he is definitely not immune to frustrating rotations. We have seen that over time with Kelly Olynyk playing really well and playing 27 minutes a night and then getting benched and playing 12 minutes a night so that Tyler Zeller could come in there and suck for 20 minutes or that Amir Johnson could come and hobble around for 18 minutes. He does that, Stevens. He does frustrating things at times with the rotations. Things will change all the time. You'll have guys like Jaylen Brown play 30 one night, then maybe 24 the next night as Jason Tatum comes in, and that's all fine. But the one that's going to piss me off is Marcus Morris getting minutes. I don't think Marcus Morris is very good. Marcus Morris seems to think he is very good. I think he said there was only two power forwards in the league that could guard him. I'm not sure what he's talking about, but he doesn't have any sort of realistic value or realistic views on his own value. I want Aaron Baines in that role. I think he's better for the Celtics. I think he's a better player than what Morris is. I want Jason Tatum to get those minutes. I don't want Morris getting out there sucking 34 minutes out of the rotation. I don't think he will, but there is that possibility that Stevens does do that, and Morris will go out there. He'll be a piss-poor version of Carmelo Anthony, taking ISO possessions, being a poor rebounder and defender and offering nothing there, whereas guys that you can develop into those extra minutes, like Tatum, or get Baines out there and put Horford more at his natural position at the four, that would really piss me off. And okay. Stevens is not immune to me ranting against some of his rotations, and I really feel that this Morris one is going to be one to piss me off. I don't have any concerns about Marcus Smart getting minutes. I know they're going to be there. Haywood, Irving, no issues whatsoever. Brown is going to get his, but it doesn't really bother me if he fluctuates. Same with Tatum. He doesn't deserve 28 minutes at this point, especially on a team that's this good and stacked. But if you're giving Marcus Morris 32 a night, then I think you probably need to reassess your value of Marcus Morris. In Charlotte, this one's guaranteed, and it already pisses me off. Dwight Howard playing over Cody Zeller is not ideal, just from a real-life point of view. From fantasy, you want Dwight over Zeller because Dwight is a much better fantasy producer than what Cody Zeller is. The problem is I don't think that necessarily translates into wins for this team. We know that Dwight Howard is as pissy as they come. He is probably going to ruin any chance of Dwight Howard ever coming on this podcast, but he's just a dickhead. Like, it's just as simple as that. He's locker room antics, he's everything about him as a person just grates me the wrong way. And as a basketball player, I think that Zeller's a better option, but Clifford is clearly going to go with Howard. Now, what they do in terms of that minute split, if they're giving Howard 30 plus, I think that's a completely ludicrous way to go, especially when Zeller is there. We have heard that they're going to play Marvin Williams more at the three this season, so that might allow them to go really big and play Zeller next to Howard, which could be disastrous. We'll see how that all pans out, but the fact that Howard is going to start over Zeller already pisses me off to no end, and we'll see how that goes for Charlotte this season. But again, as I said, Howard getting more minutes is actually better for fantasy. He's a much better fantasy producer, a much higher shot blocker, a much better field goal percentage guy, a much better rebounds guy, but that's not all about basketball in terms of winning. But from our point of view, it actually does help. The Chicago Bulls.
Hello darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again.
Where do I even begin with this team? Like, where is the frustration going to come from? I get the feeling that Hoiberg is going to start. Robin Lopez is going to start. I know that. But what he's going to do is he's going to feed him these ridiculous amount of possessions, give him as many touches as he can get, and have his usage be really high, which just makes no sense for a guy with no offensive game whatsoever. I feel that's going to happen, and that's going to piss me off. Bobby Portis getting any minutes over Nikola Mirotic is going to piss me off to no end. I know that, okay, you want to develop young guys and that, but at this point, Portis just isn't good. And I don't think he's ever going to become good. And Mirotić can become good. You need someone who can do that. And you know that I've got a soft spot for Mirotić. Us beardos, we have to stick together. But Mirotić being limited, or the fact, or not even limited, the way that Højbjerg uses him, the constant shuffling in and out of the rotation, not using him to his full offensive capabilities, it's going to piss me off. I know it's going to piss me off. He's got a super opportunity this year, Nico, but is Højbjerg's dicky coaching going to screw it up? Oh, I'm not sure. Now, one thing that is encouraging is Højbjerg is just letting the threes fly. We know that Mirotić can do that, and he has looked pretty solid through the preseason, better than Portis and better than Markkanen, obviously, in his one game. That's going to piss me off. The other one's going to piss me off is, why is 29-year-old Justin Holliday being your go-to scorer? Why is he getting minutes over your lottery pick from last season, Denzel Valentine, who can actually act as a primary or a secondary distributor? Holliday's looked okay. He's been strong. But your team is terrible. Like, the team is bad. Why are we going, you know who's going to be our guy? It's going to be Justin Holliday. Like, what is that doing? For 29 minutes a night, 30 minutes a night, why are we getting this guy who's past his prime, who's a solid rotation player? He's a solid rotation player, but he shouldn't be Chicago Bulls, come for Justin Holliday taking 20 shots. That's not how it should be. And that makes no sense. Get Valentine in there. Get him a role. Yeah, you want to use him as a backup point guard. It can be done. But limiting him so that Holliday can play big minutes, or, and to a lesser extent, Zipser, and I love Zipser, it doesn't make any sense to me. Jerron Grant over Chris Dunn, I can understand that. I don't think Dunn is going to be good. I know you gave up Jimmy Butler, and Dunn came back in the package as the second piece behind Zach LaVine. To me, he's probably the third piece. I would consider Markkanen a more valuable player than Dunn. I don't think Dunn is very good at all, as you're probably well aware. But there's just going to be dickery with this point guard position all season from Højbjerg, and that's going to frustrate me. Whether it's Grant that plays and plays 30 one night and 20 the next, it's going to be up and down. Dunn is going to do a similar thing, and Højbjerg's use of that point guard position is just going to be a frustrating thing for pretty much anyone involved with the Bulls or with these guys as fantasy producers for the entirety of the season. In Cleveland, we've had confirmation today that Derrick Rose and Dwayne Wade will be the starting backcourt, with J.R. Smith going to the bench. That already pisses me off, because I think that J.R. Smith is probably a better option for this team as a starter, just given the fact that he plays some defense and he can shoot threes, two things that Wade refuses to do, which is going to be annoying for this sort of squad. We know Love is starting at center, but one thing is going to bother me is if Rose and Wade start taking more shots than Love and push Kevin Love to a fourth option, that is just piss-poor coaching from Ty Lue. And if that happens, he probably should just pack his own desk up and walk away, because that's really poor coaching. You got to rein these guys in. It'd be interesting to see how it goes. I'm encouraged with Rose, the fact that he hasn't been doing that throughout the preseason. Wade, I'm still, the jury is still out. But if that is the way it goes and Love gets pushed down to a Chicago Bulls version of Nikola Mirotić, that is going to really bother me if they do that. One thing that will also bother me is if Dick Jefferson or even Jeff Green,
my name is Jeff,
gets minutes over Chetty Osman. I've loved what Osman's done in the preseason. We know what Jefferson is. He's okay. We know what Jeff Green is. He is okay. But I'd like them to just mix Osman in there a little bit. Like, it's not going to be many minutes. You've got LeBron. You've got Jay Crowder in that area. Yeah, give Osman 10 minutes or get him playing. But instead of sending him to Canton for the entire season, it's not going to piss me off too much. But I would just like to see Osman out there doing those things. In Dallas, anytime that JJ Barea gets more minutes than Dennis Smith, it's going to annoy me. I know it's going to happen because it's Rick Carlisle, and rookies are going to get shafted at times for all the positive things that Carlisle has said about Big Dennis. I am worried that occasionally you'll get a 20-minute game from Smith and 25 from JJ. Now, I like JJ. He seems like a really decent guy with the stuff going on in Puerto Rico. He can put up the numbers, but what's the point? What's the point in him playing more minutes than Dennis Smith just to prove a point? That'll annoy me. And if any time Dwight Powell plays minutes over Nerlens Noel, or I could throw in Salah Mejri there, it's going to frustrate me. Carlisle's a really good coach. He doesn't bother me too much in terms of his rotations. Generally, he's pretty spot on with most things that he does. I understand why they're starting Dirk over Noel, because you can't really have Dirk out there guarding fours, and Nerlens seems to be a bit pissy, and they're not huge fans of that, and they're not going to be retaining him next season, it appears. So I understand why they're doing all that, even though Nerlens is really suited to be that center and play 28 minutes and be a real defensive force. But any time that Barea is getting minutes over Smith, it's not gonna make me feel great. in Denver, Jameer Nelson getting any playing time over, or any playing time at all really, but any playing time over the Blue Arrow or over Manny Moutier to a lesser degree is going to annoy me. That annoyed me last season that Nelson was just playing so many minutes. If he gets any sort of look at the starting job ahead of Jamal Murray, it's going to return a few of the old Michael Malone rants from last season when he was limiting what Jokic could do. That's not going to happen this season with Jokic. Jokic won't be benched. He won't be put behind Mason Plumlee at any point. So there's no need to worry with that. Ken Faried getting minutes over Juancho Hernangómez at the four will bother me. Ken Faried getting minutes at center over or limiting any playing time that Jokic gets, which again is such a long shot, but it happened last year and it was bafflingly ridiculous. If that sort of stuff happens, that will piss me off. Malone's got a track record, but I don't feel like there's any real risk of Jokic this season having Malone jerking him around. So I'm not too concerned there. Faried over Juancho would annoy me more from a development point of view, and Jameer Nelson over the Blue Arrow, yeah, that would bother me to a large degree. In Detroit, I don't think there's really much in terms of the rotations that could bother me. I know it's going to be Avery Bradley, Reggie Jackson's back for the next preseason game. I think Stan Johnson starts at the 3, Toby at the 4, and Drummond at the 5. That's fine. But if Van Gundy continues to persist with running Andre Drummond post-ups, then it's going to annoy me because Drummond was a guy that was a 60% field goal percentage guy until Van Gundy came along and said, you know what? I know you're really good at this one thing. I know you're really good at pick and rolls. I know you're really good at alley-oops. I know you're really good at putbacks. But you know what we should do? We should make you do all these other things that you're terrible at. And I should put the confidence in your head that, you know what? Even though you're shit, we're going to persist with it for 3 years. And that's what's annoying about the way Van Gundy has coached Drummond. He's dropped his offensive output. He's dropped his efficiency significantly. I think he's impacted the offense by doing it, by just, oh, let's throw the ball into Andre, let him turn around, face up. It's bullshit. He can't do it. We've had 3 years of him not being able to do it. Don't let him do it. It's very simple. Don't make him do it. He can't do it. Stan, it's not going to happen. And that's the big thing that's going to piss me off with this team. I think, to a lesser degree, Tony Tolliver playing over Henry Allenson might bother me a little bit. Allenson's been really good in preseason, and I think that he does get that backup four spot. And any time that the tackle box plays more minutes than Toby Harris is going to shit me to tears. I don't think it's going to happen because I think Lua is going to be the backup center. But if the tackle box plays 30 minutes and Toby Harris plays 27, Detroit should just demand that Stan Van Gundy shaves his mustache or something. I don't know what it is, but it shouldn't happen, and that's going to annoy me. I don't have too much fear of that happening, but it's Van Gundy, man. Some of the moves he's made have been a little bit questionable. In Golden State, what can I say about the Warriors? I don't have any worries about their rotation. It's going to bother me a little bit if Jordan Bell doesn't see the floor at all, but he's not going to be an impactful guy really this season, but I think that he should be potentially getting these minutes over JaVale McGee, maybe over David West, but I understand why you wouldn't. I understand why, you know, West's presence out there for his 10 minutes a game is useful and what he can do. So it doesn't really bother me too much. I just, for my own selfish purposes, want to see Jordan Bell get some action at times. Mike D'Antoni in Houston. If Nene is getting minutes over Clint Capela, or if they're splitting minutes, it's going to annoy me. We know how old Nene is. We know how decrepit his body is. And we also know how good Clint Capela is. And we saw that in the playoffs also with Capela playing big minutes and being very, very good. And if he limits his breakout here, it is going to be extraordinarily frustrating. We know what D'Antoni does for guys offensively. Chris Paul, James Harden, Trevor Ariza, Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson, PJ Tucker. All these guys are going to have big numbers. But if Capela gets limited by the presence of Nene, or heaven forbid, if Tariq Black comes in and limits what Capela can do, I'm going to be ropeable. Indiana, if Al Jefferson gets any playing time over TJ Leaf or Domantas Sabonis, it's going to annoy me. I don't understand the idea of let's push for 35 wins. Al Jefferson's done. He was done last year. He's more done this season. Sabonis has looked really good, and he's looked really good at center. And if we see him get limited or shunted out of the rotation and playing exclusively at the four so that Jefferson gets all those backup minutes behind Miles Turner, I'll be annoyed at Nate McMillan. I don't think it's going to happen. The Pacers are running really fast offense, or really fast throughout the preseason, which doesn't bode well for Jefferson. So I don't see it happening, but it could. Anytime Corey Joseph cuts into Darren Collison or Victor Oladipo's minutes, it's going to annoy me as well. Again, based on what we've seen, I don't think it will happen. But if we get to situations where Oladipo's playing 27 minutes, so Corey Joseph can play 27 minutes, then McMillan, you are going to be very, very firmly in the crosshairs of my rants, which you probably won't give two shits about. The LA Clippers. Austin Rivers over Milos Teodosic, it's going to bother me. I know that Rivers is a better defender, But I want Milosz out there. Milosz and Pat Bev is the backcourt that I think the Clippers should be running with. Beverly can go and guard other players. Teodosic can set up everyone, and that offense can be really humming. That's going to annoy me. Rivers can do some stuff, but I guess it's mainly from a fantasy point of view as well. The fact that Rivers just isn't a great contributor, whereas Milosz can be a guy that gets 7 dimes a game, which can be super valuable. The other one that's going to annoy me more from a development point of view is the fact that Doc Rivers refused to use Wes Johnson last year. Allen Anderson, Paul Pierce, like the pieces of crap that he had running out there at small forward. No offense to Paul Pierce, but he was crap last season. All-time legend. Terrible last year. And Wes Johnson just wasn't anywhere to be seen. And if we resurrect him this season so you can limit the playing time of Sam Decker, one player who you do have who actually is actually young and can develop, that'll be frustrating. And it appears that's the way it's going. It's not going to have too much of a standard league fantasy impact this season, but in terms of Doc's inability to develop young guys, it's going to be frustrating. I could also throw in the fact that if he just never plays Sindarius Thornwell or never plays Juwan Evans, I understand. If he doesn't play Thornwell at all, it will bother me a little bit. For the Lakers, love Andrew Bogut. You know, big source of Aussie pride in terms of basketball here. But I think they should be playing Zubats over Bogut. Bogut's already hurt. He's got a sore groin. We know he's injury problems. I just don't see the purpose of bringing him in for 1 year to limit the development of Zubats, who could very comfortably be the Lakers' starting center next season. So I don't really see any point in that. That's going to annoy me. Zubats is not going to have a real fantasy role outside of 20-teamers or dynasty leagues this year. But if he gets limited or pushed into D-League or G-League minutes, this season, it's going to annoy me. If Luol Deng gets any playing time at the expense of Brandon Ingram or the internet's man, Kyle Kuzma, it's going to be frustrating. Kuzma has obviously been amazing in the preseason. Ingram has been shit. Maybe Ingram is shit. Maybe that's the thing. And maybe he's terrible. And maybe Deng is better. But what's the point? You know, Kuzma and Ingram should be getting those minutes there at the three. Even Corey Brewer, perhaps. I don't really... If Deng comes out and plays 22 minutes a night, I will be ropeable, as should most Lakers fans. In Memphis, Andy Harrison playing over Wade Baldwin will annoy me. I know Harrison did his thing last year and David Fizdale loved him, but you've got Mario Chalmers there now as the backup point guard. So you want to develop one guy, and if you're going to develop one guy, it should be Wade Baldwin. I'm not even talking about necessarily rotation minutes here, because someone has to get cut on this team. And if you cut Baldwin over Harrison, it makes absolutely no sense. So that will frustrate me. The other one that's going to annoy me in terms of development for this team is 30-year-old oft-injured Brandon Wright playing over Deontay Davis. Now, I know Davis has his issues, but he is an elite rim protector at this point, and he could develop into really the starting center of the future in 3 or 4 years' time when Gasol is on the decline. Brandon Wright is never going to be that. So it'll be interesting to see how that's handled. I really do like Davis for deeper leagues, mainly for his shot blocking. And he's got that ability to get some extra minutes there as the primary backup. And if Brandon Wright's siphoning those away, it will bother me to a degree. In Miami, you know what it's going to be. If Joshy Richardson's not getting minutes, I'm going to be pissed. If Scooter Magruder is playing over him, ridiculous. If Justice Winslow gets more minutes than Richardson, I don't agree with that. If Deion Waiters gets more minutes than Richardson, you know I don't agree with that. Now, many of you disagree with me when I say that Richardson is the best wing on this team. And you say, oh, how about Waiters? And I say, how about no? So I can understand if Waiters gets in similar or more minutes, but if Winslow or Magruder are doing it, that's going to bother me. I don't have too much fear in that. Richardson has shown how good he is this preseason. He's shown how valuable he can be. He can play the one, he can play the two, he can play the three. He can shoot, he can defend. He's a better defender than Winslow. He's a equal to potentially better shooter than Waiters. He's a better passer than all these guys. I think he's better, and it's going to bother me. And if Magruder gets in there and plays minutes, then I don't know what to say, because it doesn't... Like, I know Magruder played 25 minutes a game last year, but Waiters was injured, Richardson was injured, Winslow was injured. They're all injured. So there's no way he should be getting those minutes over Joshy this season. Milwaukee, you know that Jason Kidd is the ire of my life. If John Henson is playing over Thon McCur, I'm going to be pissed. If he runs a three-man center rotation and plays Greg Monroe 18 minutes and plays Thon 17 minutes and plays Johnny Henson his 17, I don't think those minutes all work out. But if he's playing three centers and limiting McCur and limiting Monroe, who is comfortably their best center, then again, Jason Kidd needs to go. And this will happen. If Matty Dellavedova starts playing over Malcolm Brogdon, it's a bad move. And these are all real possibilities. Some of these other ones, like, oh yeah, probably won't happen. Like, Deng's not going to play over Ingram, Josh. What are you talking about? Yeah, probably not. But these ones in Milwaukee, yeah, they're going to happen. This bullshit's going to happen. 52-year-old Jason Terry's going to come out there and play 20 minutes over developing a guy like Sterling Brown or seeing if Rashad Vaughn can give you anything. Now, Vaughn is terrible. He's had two pretty good preseason games, so maybe the light's turning on. But what is the point of 42-year-old Jason Terry? What is the point of playing him 20 minutes a night, which he did at times last season? That sort of shit could definitely happen. In Minnesota, Taj Gibson's going to play over Gorgui Jing, and I'm already sad about it. I'm already upset about it. I know Tibbs loves Gibson, but you know, I love Jing. Jing's really good. Jing does a lot of stuff defensively. He can help stuff offensively. Jing, the more things go in this preseason, Jing is not going to be able to find 24 minutes a night, I don't feel. I don't think he's going to be able to get that. The Timberwolves rotation is really tough. Shabazz is barely going to get minutes. Bielitsa, Jamal Crawford, they're not going to see big minutes because of the way that Tibbs is going to run this rotation. It's going to be frustrating. The other one that's really going to piss me off is if Aaron Brooks gets minutes over Tyus Jones. Brooks was horrendous last season. And this is something that is pervasive throughout coaching. I don't understand it necessarily. You know, we know Doc Rivers trades for guys that had big games against him. You know, Tibbs needs to bring back guys that he coached 4 years ago. Like, do you have no understanding of anybody else in the league whatsoever? I remember Aaron Brooks was he played good as a backup 3 years ago, so maybe he should be my good backup now. Like, yeah, things have changed. Like, these guys are 30 plus now. Taj is 32. You know, Gorgie's 27. I just don't understand the complete fascination of, I used to coach him, so therefore it's the only option. And there are a few coaches who seem stuck in that mentality. The New Orleans Pelicans, Rajon Rondo playing over anybody will be annoying, but he's going to play. So I don't have any, I know that's going to happen. He's going to baffle me with some of what he does half the time, but I'm not too bothered. I still think he's a real valuable fantasy guy. Now, the fact that he's going to miss with his sports hernia is a little bit annoying or a little bit frustrating, but I would prefer them run out Etwan Moore or Ian Clark there next to Drew Holiday and play Rondo in a bench role, but I just don't think that's going to happen. And it is going to bother me when this team, you know, sputters and can't shoot because Dante Cunningham is your three and Rondo's your one and you're playing two centers. It's not going to make any sense. The signing never made sense, and I think Gentry's going to perpetuate the problem with that roster construction. The New York Knicks, if Jarrett Jack is playing minutes over Frank Ntilikina, Jeff Hornacek needs to give it away. If Joakim Noah is playing over Enes Kanter or Bill Hernan Gomez, the whole center rotation for Hornacek was frustrating last year. We could never understand what was going on. Billy would play one game, 27 minutes, he'd look great, and then he'd be on the bench. And then Koch would come in and play 22 minutes and look good, then he'd be on the bench and not play. Then Noah would come in. He's got four centers to screw around with us with, and it's going to be even more frustrating. But if we're limiting what Hernan Gomez can do or Kanter could do so that Noah can get in there, it's not ideal. Courtney Lee, I think, is the favorite to start at the three. I don't see what he offers. You know, put Kuzminskas in there. Try McDermott. Put Mick Beasley in there. I just don't see what the purpose of 31-year-old Courtney Lee is starting on the team like this and siphoning those minutes over guys who might provide some value. And I think Hornacek's going to be a real source of frustration this season. The Oklahoma City Thunder, I don't really see much in terms of frustration. Maybe Mallow takes too many shots. Maybe Russ's usage gets dropped too far, but I don't really think that's too much of a concern. Yeah, Steve Adams, Andre Robertson, the rotation seems fairly settled. Jeremy Grant, Pat Patterson. Nothing I look at this and go, well, this is going to annoy me all season. Not like last season when Donovan refused to play Victor Oladipo as the backup point guard despite Samaje Christen being the worst player in the NBA. I don't really have too many concerns with OKC, so that's a good thing. Orlando, on the other hand, there is real potential for Vogel to screw it up again. He did it last year. And could we see Shelvin Mack getting games and getting minutes over Lord Alfred Payton? Could DJ Augustine be resurrected as the third stringer like we saw with CJ Watson last year and playing over Payton? The answer is yes, because Vogel did this all last season and completely screwed with us and his own team and his fan base. So that's a possibility. Is Bismack Biyombo going to play over Nick Vucevic? Well, given what we saw last season and literally the history of Bismack Biyombo in the league, you would think not, but that didn't stop Vogel from doing it last season. It didn't work, but has he learned his lesson? I believe he has, but geez, this sort of shit can clearly go wrong because we saw it last season. Is Mo Spates going to take away development time from John Isaac? If that happens, his ass should be canned out the door straight away. Because if Mo Spates, who, and I don't see any, he shouldn't be in the rotation at all, Spates. Fifth big man. At best. If Mo Spates comes in and starts taking minutes from Isaac, then I'm not sure what to tell you. It just shouldn't happen. He shouldn't be getting those minutes. I could even say maybe Aaron Aflalo over Mario Hezonja, but yeah, Aflalo's bad. Hezonja's also bad, but one is also, you know, 7 years or 8 years younger than the other. So let's give it to the younger guy. But if Spates plays over Isaac, I will be ropeable. Philadelphia. Amir Johnson getting minutes over Rishaun Holmes, over Dario Saric, or even Jahlil Okafor will bother me. I know what Johnson is. He can be a solid, dependable guy. But develop your guys. Develop your... Holmes is probably a better player than Amir at this point. You know, Saric is probably a better player than Amir. Amir can't do too much. Yeah, you know, Okafor, is he a better player? But I get the feeling that we're going to see some minutes for Amir that are going to be bothersome. One thing I also think with Philadelphia, and I mentioned this yesterday, is that I reckon Markelle Fultz might be a little bit limited to start the season. Even if he starts or not, I think we won't see him at 30 minutes initially to start the year with TJ McConnell and Jared Bayless getting some extra playing time. In Phoenix, it's the obvious one. Tyson Chandler playing any minutes over Alex Len or Dragan Bender or Marquise Chris is going to annoy me, or Jared Dudley getting minutes over Josh Jackson or Dragan Bender. I don't really... Yeah, Earl Watson doesn't strike me as a good coach because he isn't. I know what Chandler can do on this team. I know he played pretty well last season, but realistically, let's see what Len does. Let's see what Bender can do. Let's see what Chris can do. Let's see what Josh Jackson does at the four. And playing these veterans significant minutes, which is what happened at the start of last season, and it could happen again at the start of this season, I don't really understand why you would do it. When you did go away from that pretty early last season, just continue the development of these young guys. But it is Earl Watson, and we know who got him his job. It was Tyson Chandler. So there is a real chance that he's back in the rotation just to piss us off. In Portland, Ed Davis getting minutes ahead of guys like Caleb Swanigan, potentially Zach Collins, maybe Myers Leonard. I really like Davis, but there's just no future in him. He's got no real upside long term. I don't think he's a better option. I could throw Vonleh in there as well. I don't think he's a better option than any of these guys, so I don't really understand why they would want to do that, especially with the way that Swanigan's playing or the way that Vonleh played last season. Sacramento definitely got the possibility to be the most frustrating situation all season. It is going to be the most frustrating situation all season for fantasy owners because the old guys, they're all going to rest. We don't know when they're going to rest, but Randolph, Kufos, Vince Carter, Garrett Temple, George Hill, all these guys are going to have games off littered throughout the season. We don't know when it's going to be. It might be 2-3 games at a time. That is going to happen. But what it looks like they are going to do in Sacramento is start Hill, start Bogdanovich, start Temple, start Randolph, and start Willie Cauley-Stein. That looks like it's going to be the starting five, with the backups being Fox, Heald, Carter, Labissiere, and Kufos. Playing Randolph over Labissiere, when not only is Randolph 36 years old, but he was really bad last season. He wasn't a good player at all. He was a high usage, piss poor efficiency player who offers nothing in terms of defense. Whereas Skell, you know, really started to, you know, put up some good numbers last season and show that on a team, look, let's see what we can get here. So I would have no problem with Zebo playing 20 minutes a night, but if he's playing 28, 29, which it looks like it's going to be, it's going to be annoying. Garrett Temple over Buddy Hield makes zero sense. All right, Temple's a better defender at this point, but who gives a shit? You just gave up DeMarcus Cousins so you could really get your hands on Bud Hield. I must have Bud Hield, and now I must play him off the bench behind Garrett Temple. Now, I love Bogdan Bogdanovich. I think he should start, but the Temple over Hield thing is going to be frustrating. Kufos, if Kufos gets playing time over Cauley-Stein, it makes zero sense. And any time that Vince Carter plays over Bogdan is going to annoy the shit out of me. This is going to be the most frustrating team, A, for trying to plan what to do in a weekly league, or for DFS when they announce last-minute scratches for all the veterans, and trying to work out this rotation. Trust me, this is going to be the worst situation to deal with all season. San Antonio, this is what's going to happen. Joffrey Laverne is going to play, and he's going to play over Davis Bertans and potentially Kyle Anderson, and it's going to annoy me. Laverne has looked okay in preseason. I'll grant him that. He's looked good with his passing. He looks like a solid center, but I don't want Davis Bertans out of the rotation. But unfortunately, I feel like that's going to be the case. I was going through the Spurs rotation today, and at point guard, we're going to have Mills and Murray. At shooting guard, we have Dan Green and Ginobili. At small forward, we have Kawhi and Kyle Anderson. At power forward, we have LaMarcus Aldridge and Rudy Gay. At center, we have Pau Gasol and Joffrey Laverne. Where's Davis Bertans fit in? Does he play ahead of Gay? Probably not. Play ahead of Kyle Anderson? Probably not. Ahead of Laverne? Well, then who's your backup center? Does Aldridge switch over there? But then you run into minutes problems. So I think that Bertans is going to be squeezed, and it's going to be squeezed by Laverne. So that is that could be a frustrating situation, but maybe Joffrey can turn it around in San Antonio. It wouldn't be the first time that someone's had a bit of a resurrection playing for the Spurs. The Toronto one's pretty easy to me. If CJ Miles is getting minutes over Norm Powell, that's going to annoy the shit out of me. I've been on the Norm Powell train for a while. It was very, very vocal last season in terms of he should have played over Damari Carroll consistently. And if they bring in a spud like Miles to take his minutes, it's going to piss me off. And there is a real chance of that happening. I don't care about starting, even though I do prefer Powell to start because he's better in that role. But if he gets more minutes than him, it's going to annoy me. And if Fred VanVleet plays over D'Lon Wright, that's going to bother me as well. That's more just a personal preference. I like Wright. I don't have anything against VanVleet, but I really like Wright as a player. And his ability to guard, you know, 1, 2, and 3s, you know, get steals, hit threes, and some assists can be really valuable for fantasy as well. In Utah, if Hull Neto is playing over Donovan Mitchell, I'll be annoyed. If Joe Johnson's playing over Derek Favors, I will be annoyed. And if Tabo Sefolosha is playing over Joe Ingles, I will also be annoyed. And these are all real things that could happen. I think that Tabo is obviously really solid, but I don't think he should be a 29-minute-a-game sort of a player. That should be Ingles' role as that playmaker, three-point shooter, guy who can run with the first and second units. Mitchell over Neto, you've got to see what Mitchell can do. Neto's got zero upside. I know they've lost their backup point guard with Exum out, but run Burks there a bit, run Mitchell there a bit, run Ingles there a bit. You can easily do that, and I just want Derek Favors back to his best. The last team I'm going to look at in terms of potential frustrating situations is Washington, of course. And if Jason Smith is getting minutes over Kelly Oubre, I don't see the point of that. We know what Smith is. He played quite well last season, but Oubre's looked really good in preseason, and I want to see Oubre-Porter as the 3-4 combination while Markieff Morris is out. I do have some faith in Scott Brooks that he's going to do that, but that would annoy me a little bit. And, you know, my last one. It's Matt's guy against my guy, Tim Frazier over Tomas Satoransky. I want Satoransky to be the backup point guard. Let's see what happens with Frazier now returning from his groin injury. I want it to be Tomas to get that role. I really like Satoransky. I value his long-term dynasty potential. I think he can be a really impactful player in this league, and I don't think that Tim Frazier can be, but we'll see how that goes, because I feel like I'm going to be on the losing end of this debate and this argument, but that's how I want it to play out. So there you go. They're my 30 teams, potential frustrating situations that might arise this season, or things you do need to pay some attention to throughout the year. There'll be much more that that arises that I haven't been able to foresee, but they're the ones, especially that Sacramento one. It's going to piss me off. That is going to happen. There is no doubt about that. And same as Milwaukee, John Henson's going to get in there and really bother me and bust my nuts to a fairly large degree. Don't forget, subscribe to this podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Spotify, and leave a review. It is the best way of supporting this podcast. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Eric Bledsoe.